Hey, everybody. Welcome to No Story is Sacred. If you've never listened before, basically we're four siblings who grew up talking about the art of storytelling. Now that we're adults, we're still talking about it, and we're inviting you to join the conversation. I'm Brendan, and I didn't have to fight seven evil exes, so I think I am winning at life here.
I'm Pippin, and I'm a little bi-furious.
Ooh!
Best line in the movie.
I'm Alex, and I've got a highway in my brain.
Ooh. And I'm Kat, and am I the only one who would really love to get onto that evil ex's mailing list? They clearly have like a group chat. I'm into that.
For those of you who haven't gotten the references so far, today we're talking about the 2010 movie and comic book series Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. So spoilers abound. If you want specific content warnings about the things we may talk about, check out the show notes on nostoryisacred.com. Now, for those of you who have never watched Scott Pilgrim, the summary according to Google is, as bass guitarist for a garage rock band, Scott Pilgrim has never had trouble getting a girlfriend. Usually, the problem is getting rid of them. But when Ramona Flowers skates into his heart, he finds that he has the most troublesome baggage of all. An army of ex-boyfriends who will stop at nothing to eliminate him from her list of suitors.
So, fun fact. I didn't read the summary before I copied and pasted it to our document.
I gotta say, actually, that summary encapsulates entirely why this movie pisses me off.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, leaving aside Scott Pilgrim, saying that he has never had trouble getting a girlfriend is a blatant lie.
That's true.
Just a bit. Just a bit.
Yeah. I think the fact that he's played by Michael Cera just covers that whole issue. Michael Cera knows what his position is in terms of film.
Protagonist? Not quite. He's great support.
Oh, no, I love him as a protagonist. Do not get me wrong. However, he does embody a certain look, and that look is not necessarily can get ladies easily and frequently.
And leaving aside Michael Cera and his face.
Wow.
I love Michael Cera.
I love you, man.
He's fine.
Wow.
It's also just straight up stated in the movie that he hadn't dated before his high school girlfriend. Wait, no.
That's no, you're saying that wrong.
Yeah, I know. His current girlfriend, who is in high school, he is 23.
He is 23.
22.
What? I thought he was 23.
22.
I mean, not that that makes much of a difference, because she's still 17.
But he hadn't dated anyone for, like, over a year when his previous girlfriend, who was, let's face it, too good for him anyway, and to be fair, so is his now in high school girlfriend.
They're all too good for him.
That's, yeah.
I feel like Bi-Furious really does cover you this time, Pip.
Yeah.
Well, what's kind of funny is that in the comic book series, they really do really point out the fact that Scott there is not really in a good place emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So a big part of the comic book series is just getting over that issue. Like the whole entire Amy Adams ex-girlfriend thing. She left him mostly because he was a douchebag.
But he
had selective memory as an actual plot point.
Mm-hmm. I know this because I read the summary of it on his wiki page.
Of the comic?
Yeah, I read the comic's wiki page.
Oh, wow.
I did research to avoid watching this movie again. Edgar Wright does a great job. It's stunning visually. For what it is as a story put onto film, it's great. I just have a problem with the story as a concept, which, to be fair, is the point of this podcast, is to discuss story.
So why do you have a problem with it? Let's delve into that.
From what I see, the story is literally a guy having to, quote-unquote, deal with his crush's emotional baggage. She has several exes. They have left a mark on her, and now he has to deal with it by defeating them or some shit. And I don't like that noise. Heck with it. Also, I would rather have the story be about, Wallace, his roommate, who is, played.
Well, yeah. Wallace is amazing.
Wallace is the best character that there ever was and ever will be.
Oh, yeah. Double standards. I don't make the gay rule book.
Exactly. I mean, you know, he's both aware of the weird, reality bendingness that's going on, reveling in it slightly, and also not getting involved in any of this interpersonal shit. I appreciate everything he is and chooses to be.
On occasion he does if Scott's gonna mess it up real bad. But he doesn't, like, do anything. He just tells Scott to say, break up with his high school girlfriend.
For instance.
His fake high school girlfriend.
His fake high school girlfriend.
Oh, God. Anyway, so, yeah, I don't need another fucking movie where men have to deal with women's emotions because it's clearly that's in the way of their emotional relationship.
See, I viewed it as Ramona having to deal with Scott's emotional problems.
There's that, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
that's kind of what the movie is, you know.
But I feel like it's framed about him and dealing with her.
Well, here's where we start delving into metaphor town. Mm-hmm. The fighting the evil town. Exes thing could be construed as fighting the expectations set by prior relationships and how you want to try and be better than whatever caused the last breakup to happen, right? Mm.
Like, yeah. It's not really Ramona as baggage. She's, you know.
She didn't ask for these guys to come fight people. She is as put out as anyone.
And she's just, like, you know, just, it's stuff that happened. It's really Scott's emotional baggage.
But it's framed as being caused by her. Ugh.
I mean, she's explaining it, and Scott gets frustrated that she doesn't explain it enough at the same time, like, fuck you. Whatever, Scott. The only time it's really Ramona's thing, I feel, is when it gets to the last evil ex.
Whose name?
Gideon. who is the one she's actually still hung up about. Because he was an abusive ex and getting over abuse is hard.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Really, this is the story of how Knives Chow, the fake high school girlfriend, learns to love herself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And getting over the weirdly adultish child who dated her for bad reasons.
There was still again, going back to the comic book, and you can't see it, but I'm pushing up the glasses that I don't wear on my nose.
I felt it in my soul.
I did, too.
In the final graphic novel, like, Knives had graduated high school and Scott and Ramona had broken up, long story, and they're at a party and basically Knives and Scott kiss, and then the very next panel was, and it was awkward. Next panel.
I thought it was awful for everyone.
I thought it was awkward.
Really, guys, I'm not seeing a difference here.
No, it was awful for everyone. Including you,
the reader. I think you're right, Al.
So really, Knives got over Scott. The band got over Scott.
Oh, it wasn't that, Al. It was horrible. For everyone.
Wow, we're just ratcheting it up.
Look, it's been like a couple of years since I've read through the comic book series completely. I'm allowed to make mistakes.
Are you?
Except we're on the internet. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
And now the other foot has dropped. Wait.
What?
What?
What did you do with the foot?
Listen,
what,
man.
What did we do with the foot?
Now, my big problem with the film isn't so much the story. You know, the story, it has its issue. But the visuals kind of make up for it. It's that, Michael Cera makes a great Scott, Scott Pilgrim. And the woman playing Ramona Flowers, I forget her name, made a great Ramona Flowers. They absolutely had no chemistry.
That's a good point.
None at all. and a lot of the believability of why would anyone date Scott Pilgrim requires that, like, well, you know, they've got a weird kind of chemistry going on. But, you know, instead it's like, oh, hey, Scott, and okay.
And it's Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Thank you.
All right.
Here's the thing. Leaving aside why would anyone date Scott, I'm struggling with why would anyone even hang out with Scott.
Yeah, he is kind of a, was it man-child?
Man-child and just not very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had nothing going for him.
It reminds me of the same problem as, fucking, why is Holden Caulfield anybody I should give a shit about? You know? Oh,
to be
great.
Fair, I think I'd hang out with Scott Pilgrim over Holden Caulfield.
Yeah,
Holden Caulfield. Well, that's because Holden Caulfield's actively a dick. But it's like, it's privileging men's voices. Etc.
Huh? What? What was that?
I was being it's privileging men's stories and men's story, and that's why we should find them interesting, because they're a dude who wrote a story.
It's a man told the story.
Yep! And his life is super interesting, isn't it? Which I realize there's a bunch of dudes who may be listening to this right now as I'm talking that I'm related to, but... but I'm not going to apologize, because that's just not how I feel tonight.
Well, here's a random tangent and about Holden Caulfield. Well, here's the thing. Holden Caulfield's concept as a character becomes vastly more interesting when you transfer those aspects with a female character and something like, go on.
Yes.
Most stories are more interesting with a female character.
Boom!
I said it.
Thank you.
If only because we haven't heard the stories yet.
Yes. But also, I'm just not sure why I should give a living fuck about Scott's point of view, or Holden Caulfield's, or fill in the black male character. I'm done.
At the same time.
Ugh.
Hey.
Time.
We should also be encouraging of stories that explore male characters actually exploring emotion and responsibility. Huh?
Damn it.
God, yeah, sure.
Fuck.
Have your good point.
Take that. Boom.
I feel God is a woman in this Chili's tonight.
Yeah, and Scott is emotionally kind of at a low point. He's jobless and currently he's crashing in the bed of his friend.
And also, his band kind of sucks. He's not good at playing the bass.
His band kind of sucks, possibly because of him.
Possibly. Oh, they most likely.
Well, they break. Well, don't they break up? Well, doesn't the band just break up altogether in the comics?
They break up. No.
Yeah.
No, I thought in the comics they did break up at one point, but it was like in the movie, and they just broke up around him.
Kinda, yeah. Well, Steve Stills was actually the talent, and I believe Kim was actually good as well.
Do I need to read the comic?
No.
The comic's good.
Yeah.
No.
Don't believe Kat.
To be fair, Kat did just read the wiki of it, so it might be that I have a less nuanced point of view when it comes to its quality.
Now, the comic is quite good.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
It's no hot.
Yeah, I feel this movie visually gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, because it's Edgar Wright. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's talented. But I feel like a lot of its strength is in its side characters.
Mm-hmm.
Scott's sister, great. Wallace, great. Scott's sister and Wallace together, amazing.
Anna Kendrick.
Oh, shit. Anna Kendrick. Oh, there is a reason to watch the movie again.
Aubrey Plaza's in it, too.
Chris Evans is one of the evil exes.
I did see Chris. I rewatched all the fight scenes again. and Chris Evans is great.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Because you'll be dust, and the cleaning lady doesn't come in until Monday.
Oh, that reminds me. I did appreciate the little moments of world building, because the universe of Scott Pilgrim is weird.
Mm.
Yep. Yeah.
Cause there are all those doors and, people turn into the coins and nobody really seems to mind.
And Scott Pilgrim, is able to punch people into orbit.
What's his head? Punched the highlights out of Knives' hair.
Damn.
which was unfortunate because she looked good with the blue in her hair. Though it's a whole other trope of Asian characters with colored hair in the front.
Yeah, it is.
But also, just the small moment where it acknowledged that it wasn't just the characters doing the weird things who, like, knew it was weird. It was, like, acknowledged in universe when Steve Stills asked, what's his head envy's new boyfriend? Todd. Yo, why does being vegan give you powers? He always wondered. And just the I always wondered bit. It was like, oh yes, this is a thing that's always existed.
Yep.
It's true.
Yeah.
I like that little moment of, no, this isn't just this week being weird. This is just their normal.
It's not with today. It's...
The world itself is a very weird place in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
So what else?
Huh? I actually opened my Google Doc with my notes.
We've come so low.
I know, right? And the line, if your life had a face, I would punch it. And that is how I feel about Scott Pilgrim.
Wow.
The person.
Yeah. Kim is right.
Yeah. I mean, again, part of the point of the story, at least, you know, in the full span of it all, is that Scott is not a good person, not at a good point in his life, and needs to figure some shit out emotionally.
But yeah, why is he the main character? Why should I care about not? Somebody who's having dick problems?
Because we want to learn, is it possible for them to be to learn how to be a good person? And
But I've already seen that story so many times with
that's not really a reason
to hate on it, I don't think.
I feel that, like, there is a good emotional story here of learning to get over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Ridley Scott should have gone to therapy is what he should have done. So should have Roma Mona.
Yep.
Abusive exes are going to be abusive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I just don't want to punch Scott Pilgrim in his face, though.
One of the points I was trying to get to was that I think it's important to have modern renditions of stories and lessons that people probably should be open to hearing, right? Or should hear.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And, yeah, I mean, encouraging, you know, young men and all that to actually be in touch with emotion and responsible for behavior is probably a good thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, Scott learning that self-respect is perhaps even more important than love, because you have to love yourself, is probably a good thing for people to hear. Though sometimes loving yourself is hard, and it's okay to still love other people. It's not a one or the other kind of thing.
Hmm.
But also, I'm not sure he quite carried it off in this movie.
In the movie, no. Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
Like, the general premise of what you're saying, yes. That it came across in this movie, I'm less convinced.
And in the long run, I can only speak to this film. And so my rage is largely addressed towards this film.
And the thing is, my flavoring is with having read the comics first, because, like, the final graphic novel came out about the same time as the movie, in which, among other things, Scott realizes the fact that he was kind of a douchebag with selective memory problems.
Yeah.
Hmm. But that wasn't the story that Hollywood chose to tell.
I mean, you can choose to tell your own story.
And we will.
And then I, as a critic, get to come along and be like, that was bullshit. The end.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I just want to state for the record that Envy's song Envy, played by Brie Larson, who is going to be Captain Marvel. But Envy's song that she sang in the club was great.
Actually, I believe the music was written by Beck.
Really?
I think. Yeah, I think so.
I have to say, I really enjoyed the bass battle. I really wanted Vegan to win. His bass line was really good.
Won.
I know. Yeah. And he should have.
I like how it was a bass battle instead of a boss battle.
Because puns are the best.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was trying to get that weird. Anyway.
Yeah.
Cool.
You tried, and that's what's important.
Is it, though?
No.
And it's also funny that Nega Scott, the opposite of Scott Pilgrim, is a pretty chill, nice guy.
Yeah, they're going to get brunch later.
Is Nega Scott in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, but briefly. Mm. It's just kind of a joke.
Because he's a fairly serious character in both the games, in both the comic and the games, isn't he? Because there's actual computer games.
Comics, yeah. And computer game, I believe, singular.
Yeah. All I know is that the wiki page had a lot of the sprites up. Apparently the sprites are super cool. Look at me using gaming lingo.
Anyway, so I think we've talked at length about the film. I mean, there's not much to talk about. Scott fights the evil exes and wins. Yay. Spoiler alert, he and Ramona end up together at the end. The end.
Yeah.
And Scott and Nega Scott, his evil self, agree to go to brunch.
It's debatable whether anyone ever sees them ever again. And really, if no one ever sees him again, based on the movie, they're probably all better off. I feel really mean saying it, but I'm not sure I'm wrong.
I mean, young Neil probably played the bass better.
I mean, Scott admitted he played the bass better.
Oh, yeah. So let's segue on into things we'd change. Shall we?
I feel like there are a lot of obvious answers. So I would like to get my obvious one out of the way before someone else takes
God
it.
God damn it.
So, I'm sorry. Continuing with the theme of if Scott's life had a face, I would punch it. What if this were a story about Ramona and her emotional arc? And instead of Scott fighting all these evil exes, she fights her own goddamn evil exes and gets them the fuck out of her life.
Okay.
She doesn't need some boy to come along to, you know, go through her trauma for her. Because maybe he thinks he'll get lucky. So she has amazing badass fight scenes, other than, like, the maybe two she had. And, you know, she gets to just fight and earn her own goddamn happiness. And she and Wallace can be BFFs, because I said so.
Hmm. Hooray!
That's all I got. Just make Ramona make Ramona the star. Have her fight her own battles. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Okay. What else would we add or do with that as a concept? Like, how would that affect, like, I can't imagine the evil league of exes, you know, going after her. Like, does she, like, kind of go after them almost like a Kill Bill list?
Yeah. Also, how long will it be before the evil league of exes do go after her? Because at the moment, they're content just fighting whoever she decides to date. But let's face it, all those men are on some, are on the sliding scale of abusive. Because if you're not leaving the girl alone, think you have control over who she dates after she's done dating you, you're abusive. And it's not long before they'll just turn, well, they're already abusive towards her, but, like, more overtly.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, the fact that they even formed this league, and I bet they are insecure in that, email list. So I'm willing to bet she got access somehow.
Nobody changed their damn passwords.
No one. All their passwords are still Ramona.
Oh. Deep cut. Nicely done.
And so she has the intel that way, and she's just like, no, this is not gonna stand. You know, and maybe she does try dating Scott. And maybe that's how she figures out that, well, except she already knew it was a thing, because she thought to warn Scott about it.
Well, you can change the conceit there and be it like, this is the time where she realizes that it's a thing.
True.
Because Scott's a bit of an idiot, so he probably shares the fact that, you know, shares the email or something like that. It's like, yeah, I got this email. Weird.
Oh, yeah. And so she goes and defeats the evil exes, and it's a metaphor for her, you know, coming to terms with her own trauma and past. And maybe at the end she still decides to try dating Scott. Maybe at the end she doesn't, because, you know, she wants time to herself without any partners around, because they've kind of been a shadow over her for a while. And maybe she just wants to go to a party without an awkward dude hitting on her.
Hooray. Cool. So who is next?
I want to explore the world more. Forget this petty bullshit. I want to know what kind of world it is that you can knock someone out and collect coins.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And why some people are worth more coins, etc. and so forth. I'm also going to steal Ramona being the main character. And Wallace, sure. And I'm going to have her, I don't know. Let's say she's going on a journey of self-discovery. Ah, no, that's boring. Fuck that noise. She is going to save the world from aliens. The aliens are unaware of the properties of this planet. This planet, once you touch down low, you are now able to be punched into coins. The coins are weird. They're actually radioactive. It's a whole thing. I'm really just changing the whole fucking thing.
Cool.
Okay. I don't want it to be an emotional mess.
I feel like you're acknowledging that the world is cool.
Yeah, the world is cool. I just want to do cool things with the world. Fuck all the rest of it.
That's except fine. Maybe Wallace.
Except maybe Wallace. Wallace gets to stay. He's awesome. Or, the question is, love and death, right? Two sides of a coin. What happens when there is lovemaking? You KO somebody. You get coins. What happens elsewise? And what's Wallace doing with his life then? He's a lover, not a fighter.
I feel like there was a leap made somewhere and we did not go along with it.
Let's explore
the
that.
Knife and death on the same coin. Kat's talking about the little death.
Splice. Damn it.
No, I got there and it was disgusting.
Damn it! I was really proud of that.
No, it's icky. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Listen, you have to... We're going to talk mechanics of this world. Let's talk mechanics of this world.
I'm going to pull the veto card there.
It's too late. I already said it. The end. Mm. I'm done.
Mm. But yeah, so you just want to hang out in the world.
I do.
Because the world is cool.
I want to deal with the world.
We are the world.
I don't want to deal with that, Pip.
All right. What now?
Cool. Al, you go.
Oh, me? Okay. Yeah, let's make Scott a girl.
Woo! Yeah! Instantly much more interesting.
I was saying earlier that, how Holden Caulfield, old one, who interchange his character trait. It's with a female character, or whose traits become that much more interesting. Also, though, you also have to add in some weird time powers, but you know, those are slight details.
I see no downside.
Yeah,
I like time power. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, also since Pip failed to make a queer, I mean, I have to go step up.
Listen, Ramona's queer.
Oh, that's fair as well. But Pip, you could have made it more queer.
Oh,
and that's where Alex beats you out.
Listen, I had to give you guys the opportunity.
So, you know, it's this young woman and with a fake high school old girlfriend.
Legit happens.
Yeah. You know, and suddenly having to deal with Ramona's 7 evil exes, who in this also who keeps on calling him 7 evil ex-boyfriends until... And Ramona keeps on just saying 7 evil exes. But yeah, that's just slide over there and something more interesting.
Yes.
Anything you guys want to add?
Perfection. No, that's all, yeah.
Yeah, just a simple little tweak.
I'm in lesbians with you. Sorry.
Pippin's in another place now.
Does Scott not know that she? This is also a story of queer self-discovery.
Yes.
And Walt's being all like, "I thought you knew. Look at your haircut."
Oh my god. Pippin's dead. I'm sorry. Are you like muffling yourself in your arm? Flannel. Oh my god. All right, Pippin, you and I are going to have a good time later just discussing gay Scott.
Ooh. Yep.
Really, Pip? You dropped the ball.
Yep, I fucked up. Anyway, Brian, what's your story?
Well, here's the thing. I've said several times over the course of this episode that I like the graphic novel series.
Yeah.
So what I want to do, we're talking like maybe a series on HBO or something like that, where we just do a full series adaptation of the graphic novels. Maybe even expand on it more. I don't know.
Okay.
Because that's the thing. When you have like six novels like that, you want to have room for it to grow, to expand.
To flourish in the wild.
Yeah. Yeah. And contrary to Kat's grumblings there, I still think it's important to have positive male role models on TV and film and all that, that the young generation can aspire to in a positive light.
It's just that you guys have so many already. I'm just tired of it.
But yeah, I think there is a plethora of stories about men. But having a story about a man who is not macho, masculine, might be to the good.
Yeah, and that's all I'm getting at.
It's, you know, still, you know, as written, the straight white dude, which is, you know, a lot of stories out there. But having positive role models would be good, especially if we actually make Scott a more positive one.
Yeah. And perhaps also acknowledging that there's always room to grow in people.
Yes. All right. So I think, in my good opinion...
Is it definitely game time?
Yeah. I tried to be all high and mighty about it, but there's no being high and mighty about a game.
Can we pick the silliest shit game we have? Which is not, I mean, which kind of implies that some of our games are incredibly serious.
Some kind of are.
True enough.
So, how about we do a special appearance by? We need some goofiness here.
Yes.
All right.
And of course, that's when a meta character from some other series entirely comes into this story.
So you guys.
Oh, no.
Fuck.
You guys. I'm not saying I'm out here to attack Kat, but...
What?
But one of the evil exes is played by Chris Evans, right?
You wouldn't.
Who is Captain America.
You bitch.
Who himself has an evil ex.
You monster.
So Bucky Barnes is in Canada, and he has a mission.
Kill Scott Pilgrim? He's been activated to kill Scott Pilgrim?
I mean, that seems in line with Scott's life, yeah.
I mean, Gideon would probably outsource.
Yeah.
That does seem accurate. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
He could have a dance off! Because Bucky Barnes in like 1938 or whatever could dance!
Yeah, but that's not the Winter Soldier.
He's got the training, Pip.
He's
a master of disguise.
I'm just saying that he's got trick someone who looks a lot like Captain America. It tricks him into grinding down a rail to death or something. I don't know.
Tricks him into grinding. Go on.
Yeah. I know what I said. And he goes, that was my mission. And then he kills Scott.
Hmm. Wow.
So that was attacking Kat, getting my own ending.
And then, also, in those Captain America, so you're in detention videos, are even in Canada.
Oh, God damn it.
And so, but this time, it's Captain America, still in his Captain America, outfit, but wearing a Mountie hat on his head.
Wow.
So you're dating a high schooler.
Doesn't it make him Captain Canada or something?
Canada is in North America.
Ooh. Fair good point, point. Good point. And I think Canada will take that. We accept this. All right, Pip. I grudgingly accept that this is a viable plot.
I win.
You bitch.
Oh, night made.
All right, I got one. It gets kind of out there. Do you guys remember the episode we did on Georgette Heyer and the Grand Sophie?
Yes.
What if, let us say, Sophie, essentially the same, less racist, and modern, existed in this universe, and she just shows up. She takes a look at this entire situation and says, you know, there's a better way we could arrange this. And then quietly, well, not quietly, in Sophie's way, she throws a party. But she goes around and basically rearranges everyone's lives to be better suited. Such that Knives and, I guess, Ramona end up together. And
wait, so Ramona has a high school girlfriend?
Oh, shit. Knives is still high school.
yep.
Nope, fuck. Nope, they become best friends. Which Scott's later sister, will become love. What?
Scott has a sister, though.
Scott does have a sister. Oh, good point. And Scott ends up going back to music school, which I'm assuming is a thing, so that he can become a better musician and a better person for his band.
Hmm.
Oh, and Wallace... does end up with that nice young man that he had in the apartment that time.
Which one?
Such a good question. Sophie approves of all of them.
Wallace, just keep being you, sweetie. You're doing great.
You're doing great. Meanwhile, Gideon is taken down by her buying his company from the large amount of money she has.
Yeah, fair. Fair. She'd do that.
Because really, that seems the best solution. And then all of the bands can play, because some of them are quite good, aren't they, Scott? And then you also, because after you've had your lessons, you can do... So she's just going to carefully arrange everything. The only downside, of course, is that in her own book, she then also gets a person. In this, I don't see her getting anyone, which is the flaw to my plan.
I mean, oh, there's Julie. Aubrey Plaza.
There is Aubrey Plaza.
Or Envy!
Okay. Oh, got it. Sophie starts a women's commune.
Yeah.
And she and Wallace dish every Wednesday about their enormous harems.
Yeah.
The end. You can't tell me Sophie isn't a force of fucking nature.
Fair enough. All right.
And I even gave Scott a happy ending. Thank you.
Which is more than I did.
Where he gets to grow and change. And he's not hunted by the Winter Soldier, Pippin.
Listen. He should have thought about that before he destroyed not Chris Evans.
And that's like the one death that doesn't result in coins exploding everywhere. Yep. It's just a body.
That's the saddest thing. It's just a body.
What is people, that?
Okay, are there corpses in this world?
Ooh, good question.
Gotta make funerals kind of weird.
What is that?
Are the exes... Did Scott murder seven people?
Yes, he did. That would have been... Now that's a fascinating...
And you know what? I'm going with it.
Okay. Oh, I was about to... do it, man. Do it.
We need... What this world needs are I'm thinking one of the police procedurals, so I'm going to go with B99. Because, you know...
Damn it.
So we have Scott in the interview room... they were challenging me to beat me up over their ex-girlfriend. And we have Jake doing his classic Kumo Otis. Still murder.
See, that was going to be my addition as well.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude.
Except I was going to go adding Raymond Holt into it because Scott clearly needs a good father figure.
That's a good point.
Yeah, he does.
And also, Jake being like, is this just how it works in Canada?
Oh my god, what if it is how it works in Canada? Do any of us know?
Die in Canada, you die in real life.
Amy, I just jumped over a building.
This is just like my dream.
Yeah, no, that all scans.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, dude.
Now I gotta think of a new one. Well, because Peralta and Scott are kind of similar, at least with behaving immaturely. Anyway, who would I add in? Positive role model characters.
Terry Crews. Terry wouldn't put up with this.
Terry would not. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah, just having Terry Crews show up as himself. Because he's a great role model.
He is
a great role model.
But that's not really a meta character. Don't want to real people this.
Do you want to do sci-fi?
Oh, man. Just imagine Scott Pilgrim, for a second here, having to discuss things at length with Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
There's not enough facepalms in the universe.
I'm just imagining the one where his hand is extended, and he's like, that has that but why face.
Yes.
Because here's the conceit. Somebody loaded up Scott Pilgrim versus the World in the holodeck.
Oh my God.
Then, of course, they flew through an ion storm, so now they're stuck.
Like you do.
That's what happens. You fly through an ion storm.
And it's Jean-Luc that gets trapped in it. And it's not even his.
It's Barclays. It's Ensign Barclays.
Frickin' Barclay. So you have Captain Jean-Luc Picard having to sort out all this bullshit.
And he doesn't do great with kids.
That's nope. True.
So this is...
Get off the bridge, Wesley!
So he's already... Oh my god. He has to be a father figure to this dopey fucking kid. Because otherwise he can't escape the simulation.
And of course, because of that ion storm, the safeties are off.
Well, yeah.
He could explode into a pile of coins.
Why do they even have the safeties at this point?
There was a dream, Pip.
The Avengers Initiative.
Don't question my narratives.
No, it's what I'm here for. I can't question your narratives. Whose narratives can I question?
Such a good question.
Frank.
Fuck Frank.
You can question Frank.
Gwendolyn.
Don't date a high schooler, Scott.
What is wrong with you?
Was this appropriate in the 20th century?
No, Captain.
Thank you, Mr. Worf.
And meanwhile, Riker, you're coughed and try to backs out of frame.
Oh, man.
Okay, I like that one a lot, actually. I can't figure out if I want him to, be stuck by himself or for other people to see him having this issue.
He's on the the communicator's working.
Obviously, I mean.
So he's able to talk with the crew, but he's the only one in there.
Deanna keeps trying to give him advice.
Oh no.
Beverly keeps trying to give him advice.
Get off the...
Wesley try.
Get off the call, Wesley.
I was talking to your mother.
That's part of his problem.
Oh my god, it's a redemption story for Wesley. That's what it's actually about. Because Scott ends up talking to Picard about it.
Oh my god.
Well, because that's what all of the holodeck stories secretly were, even when they were messing up, is it helps a problem with, the crew themselves. And so that's what this is. This is, yes, the captain's stuck, but is he stuck in the holodeck? or emotionally.
Ooh. Yes.
Cool.
Cool.
I love it.
All right.
I think we,
I think we've exhausted ourselves for a Sunday evening.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, are we ready to wrap then?
Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS.
The USS Enterprise.
It's important.
I kind of really want to start watching TNG just so I could get an accurate. Oh no, I'm thinking of fanfic. No!
I was thinking of fanfic. The Cat Creighton story.
Fuck off.
In your defense.
In my defense.
It is also the Pippin McDonald story.
Yes, it is.
Mm.
You're lucky I'm not bringing up things, Pippin.
I will also bring up things.
Mutually assured destruction. I understand.
Woohoo!
All right, who's taking us out?
So, Pip, do you want to take us out?
All right, let's do this thing. Take me out. As always, if you have a story to submit, head on over to nostoryissacred.com/submission. Follow us on Twitter at nostoryissacred or send us an email through contact@nostoryissacred.com. Your hosts have been Alex MacDonald, Brendan MacDonald, Pippin MacDonald, and Catherine Creighton. Editing for this episode done by Brendan. Transcript done by Ashley DaCosta. Art by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcript are available at nostoryissacred.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. And please rate, review, and subscribe to No Story is Sacred. You can also visit our Patreon page to support the show and get neat rewards at patreon.com/nostoryissacred. See you next time when we will talk about the 2010 movie Tangled. Until then, we're No Story is Sacred. And any story can be changed. I'm Pippin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Kat.
And I'm Brendan.
And we're
No Story is Sacred.